9.1, we have Municipal Service Exchange Roads, a recommendation. Councilor Crowley, would you like to take the lead on this one?
It is recommended that the Council of Region of Queens Municipality direct staff to develop a long-term funding solution to be initiated during the 2018-19 budget to provide funds required to affect the recapitalization of local roads under the Municipal Service Exchange.
Second to that motion, Councilor Fisk. CAO, Richard McClellan, would you like to give a few comments on this?
Sure. So this report and the next one have high alignment with Council's strategic priorities, and from what we've discussed with Council in early days after the new Council stood around what's important to Council to work on during their four-year mandate. We heard coming out of that election there was a lot of community feedback around roads. Now, the Municipal Service Exchange roads are, we have almost 50 kilometers of them, and we budget about $250,000 a year that we pay to the province to maintain these roads. These roads became the municipalities in the 1995 service exchange. So while the ongoing maintenance pays for things such as ditch maintenance, drainage, pothole repairs, it does not cover the recapitalization or renewals. We've not reinvested in these roads since that service exchange of 1995. So we have these roads that are starting to require intervention and recapitalization. Staff and Council have met with management with transportation infrastructure renewal over recent months, discussing priorities and issues and desires with regards to this infrastructure of the near future. So this report is about creating some funding capacity to start recapitalizing some of these roads, which are important to enable our economic development growth that the Council is looking for, as well as delivering our desirable municipal infrastructure and services.
We'll go to Councilor Johnson.
This motion is part of the recapitalization and partnership. Is this an area rate? I think this is a question more for Jennifer. Is this an area rate tax piece or?
CEO?
Rather answer that. So at this point, we're not recommending an area rate. At budget, we'll be presenting options forward to start creating funding. We haven't had a discussion around if area rates are appropriate for these sorts of things. They could be other municipalities have funded these sort of roads only through local improvement charges, which have not realized some of the rework that needs to happen. The residents would need to vote for those. So typically, I believe out there, they would be generally through a general rate or a local improvement charge. But that is something certainly to provide options for when considering the budget.
Well, the reason for my question is there's not a road on there in the district set. It's not one of the roads, I can't understand. You know, so for me, that option of an area rate has to be something that I support. So.
Councilor Kelly?
Yeah, I'd like to understand about this. I don't know what you mean by an exchange road. Can you explain what roads qualify and what ones don't qualify?
Sure. So on page 3 is the listing of the 47 kilometers of roads that are Municipal Service Exchange roads or local roads. Brad might have a better description from this than me, but they're typically former provincially owned subdivision roads that came ownership of the municipality in 1995. So they're not major thoroughfare roads, highways, secondary roads. However,
subdivision roads.
Yes.
Basically, although that's probably a stretch to use that word, right? But they're local residential roads that got built, perhaps part of a development, a developer that came back to a call them J-class roads, which really doesn't mean anything, right? Which just means a local road. But you're right, they're mostly in South Queens, looking at the list here.
Yeah, because what I don't understand is, I try to get my head around the fact that, okay, the Region of Queens is responsible for roads, like most people know the plowing of roads in the wintertime. We plow all our town roads, and we own all the roads in Liverpool, but nothing outside of Liverpool, but yet we're responsible for fixing roads that are outside of Liverpool, because there's roads on, I mean, there's only a couple that are actually in Liverpool. The rest of them are all in Milton and Brooklyn, and Beach Meadows and that area, I guess.
There wouldn't be any in the old town of Liverpool. Mm. There wouldn't be any.
Well, Wolf Street's in there.
Wolf Street, but at the far end.
Okay.
Right. So
I think there's another one in there.
See, that would be beyond the old town line. Okay. It might be part of that street, but that street would run in and out of the old town of Liverpool. All right. So these, and Jennifer, you may recall, because I know Kathleen used to speak to this from time to time. As I understand it, that whole cost-sharing agreement that was done at the time of amalgamation, essentially, right? There was some change in what the municipality and municipalities, because it's not just us that has this, it's across the province, right? That was responsible to pay for, and it was a way of the province will assume some of the cost. For instance, I'll use an example of social services, although I don't know if that's the proper example or not. Provinces will pick up some of that cost, but now you have to take this cost to offset it. Essentially, that's what this is. Well, that's right. It's right in the name, right?
Okay, so is this just what these are the only roads that qualify, or is this what? Okay.
Just these roads.
These are the roads. Not an example, but these are the roads.
These are the roads. Forevermore, these are the only roads that are involved in this exchange.
That's correct.
That we take care of. So anything that's not on this list is the responsibility of the province to take care of?
Correct.
Right, okay. Yep. I understand.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I don't know whether the word taking care of is the right word. We don't do any maintenance on those roads. In Brooklyn, for example, in my district, if there's potholes and that sort of thing,
we pay.
TIR is contacted.
But they bill us as part of our budget process for these roads, for some of the maintenance, for the snow plowing, for the grading.
But don't we have, in our budget, Jennifer, just help me with this, isn't that what we pay a portion of the roads in our budget?
That's what that road levy
is for.
46.84 kilometers.
Goes to the province, and they do the work, but we pay for it, right?
Right.
So when we say we own these roads, we don't own these
roads.
No,
we don't hold the deed.
Nope, that's right.
We don't own the roads.
But we're paying for the work that they are supposed to do on those roads. So exchange. So if we have issues and nothing is being done with those roads, TRR, and we know we paid for them, then my point is they should be more quicker in responding to our needs, but they're not. They just, I mean, I've had roads that I've been trying to get some work done on for 3 years with TIR, trying to get some attention to those, and they just haven't done anything. But now I've got a little bit of leverage because we're paying for those roads, right?
We're paying a portion of the
road. Yep, absolutely.
We pay for some maintenance on.
Right.
And then, as you said, the resurfacing is this agreement for cost sharing.
But paving, that's on the second part of this agenda, is about the paving cost sharing. That's a separate one, okay. And this not qualifies for this. This is just other, okay.
Councilor Fancy?
Okay, I got two questions. Almost a statement is that the first part, I think that's more like the recapping. The TIR has so much that they'll recap and they use it and spread it out around. That's the way I understand it to be for our county for the year. And so they can only do, because I remember when they were doing the Milton Road, they said, well, we're trying to combine a lot of this together to do a section, because they were going to do a recap, because they only have so much to do, and so much that they will do during the year for the county. That's the way I understand it to be. Is that correct?
Just for clarity, not an nickel would go towards these roads under their current recapitalization.
Oh, well, no, that's very, yeah. The other part is if we go into a cost share, you know, the 50-50 and whatever, do we have the ability to say, okay, like I think up in Milton by the power corporation, that road there, it was paved at one particular time and all of a sudden it's deteriorated into really a bad road. That we can be able to say that we could be able to do something different than paving, or is it only paving only if we do cost sharing with?
So if Brad might further, we would continue to have discussions with TIR regarding the long-term asset management to make sure we're both making the best decisions with regards to those. I'm not sure if the road that you're talking to is specifically on here. I would state that, you know, obviously to fully fund all of these roads, we're going to be decades. There are roads that, you know, are clearly ready for repaving.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's really understood.
But our responsibility is to pay half the cost.
That's right.
TIR makes the call in terms of, in your example, what they surface it with,
okay,
whether they'll even agree to spend 50% of their money on it, right? Our responsibility is to pay for 50%.
That's right. They tell us what they're going to do.
Any other counsel? Okay. Thank you, counselors. We're on 9.1. We have a motion. Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. We will move on to 9.2. 3-year cost share agreement for subdivision streets. Deputy Mayor McLeod, would you like to take the lead on this one?
Certainly. It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality authorize the Mayor and Chief Administrative Officer to sign the 3-year cost share agreement for the paving of subdivision streets to enable the future consideration of joint paving projects by Council during future budget deliberations and capital planning activities.
Seconded to that motion, Councilor Fancy, CAO, is there nothing?
Yes, so this is simply a standard framework agreement that we have signed multiple times in the past, although we've never put anything forward or funded it. So we would need to have this approved and in place so that we could, as council considers budget in the future, put forward roads to the province to consider, respond to us on as per this agreement.
Questions or comments of councilors? Councilor Johnson.
What's the difference between a subdivision road and a J-class road? Are these listed in 9.1?
Same road.
Subdivision, same road.
Yeah.
Okay. And all this motion then, just for clarity purposes, all this motion does is say that you can enter into that agreement where 9.1 kicks in. The region's going to figure out a way to fund that.
Right.
Okay. So my question for 9.1 carries over to this.
Yep.
But we throw the term out J-class roads. That's not technically correct. Subdivision roads is the more proper nomer for that described. Because, I mean, you know, I don't think you'll really find definitive definition of J-class roads, particularly in this agreement, right? They're called subdivision. And over the years, we use the term J-class roads. But that's not completely correct.
Any other councillors? Councillor Kelly?
I just want to understand, between 9.1 and 9.2, did I miss that? Did we vote on 9.1, that recommendation? Yes. Was that a motion?
Yes, indeed.
9.1 is how we pay for 9.2.
Okay, so that's not, yeah, 9.1 is...
Long-term funding. Determining how we fund for long-term.
9.2
will be allowing us to sign an agreement that allows us to work with the province on cost share. Without this agreement signed, they will not entertain an application for a location on the cost share process.
Yes. Okay, so sure.
Any other councillor have a question or comment? Are you ready for the question?
Aye.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. Moving down through 10.0 engineering and works, we have nothing today. 11.0 finance, nothing today. 12.0 recreation and community facilities, nothing today.
Yes, well.
Counselor Fancy?
We'll say.
Twelve point zero, recreation committee facilities.
Yes, 12.0. Again, we had the, I think we were talking about with Sarah Mitten in particular. I'd like to have recognition of, you know, for what she's, we've supported her in the past in the region and her winning first in the shot put at, I guess you call it Candy Games, isn't it?
Yes,
Yeah.
CAO, would you like to speak to this issue?
Yes, staff are working on that. We should have an update soon on what we're able to do.
Yeah, we'd like to have it on record is that, you know, we recognize her and understand what. The other, I don't know if it's a spot or not, but with a couple locals who were down to the social exhibition who I don't know if that falls into here. I know it's not recreation, but where does it fall? with Autumn Carver winning the Social Idol and Malcolm Freeman winning the under 16, I'd just like to be able to have it on record and recognize what they've done.
Year 16. It was 216. Malcolm Carver won 216.
Yeah.
Autumn Carver won 217.
Yeah.
And she also opened for Terry Clark.
Yeah. It's just nice to recognize our people.
Thank you very much. Councilor
Queens.
Deputy Mayor McLeod.
On the same topic, and we discussed this last night at PAC, because we're so proud of these young people in our communities that have done these accomplishments. And it's more than just these two I mentioned, but I'm wondering in the future, could we just have maybe invite them as a group to come into council and show some type of recognition and have it publicized or have a little social event or something? Because it's wonderful to give them recognition, but it's also great to have our other young people in our community be aware of what we do, and it might inspire others to do the same thing, to get involved in those types of rewarding activities.
CAO, would you like to respond to that one?
Sure.
Yeah.
So
that's a big party.
With regards to, you know, you're absolutely right. We do appreciate all of the accomplishments, and there's different ways to recognize those. Staff have been working with Sarah on something that would work. We're always happy to work stuff. We always have to work with any of those ideas.
I know years ago, under recreation, there used to be a sports award dinner that was held when Norman Merrill was with our recreation department. And that was always a good recognition. That was an initiative of the region of Queens at that time. Of course, you know, that hasn't been happening for a long time, but something along that line would be kind of nice.
Thank you, Deputy.
If funding is available.
Thank you very much. Councilor Fisk?
I just want to bring everybody's attention. I want to thank the region of Queens because they did recognize Autumn on the internet, and they're very proud of that. And I thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it.
And I was in attendance, and she did an excellent job.
Thank you. And Malcolm Freeman, I would like to bring up Malcolm Freeman also, that those two, when they get together as a duo, it's just unreal what, how they handle themselves professionally.
Are we complete with?
Well, the Mitten girl deserves a lot of credit. Here's, she's representing Canada, Nova Scotia, in the Canada Games, and get a gold. That is just another fantastic achievement.
It is.
Thank you.
Thank you. So under 13.0, planning, we have nothing today. 14.0, reports, nothing today. Under 15.0, other, we have 15.1, tree removal request, West Street. Mm-hmm. Councilor Fancy, would you like to take the lead on this?
It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality permit the homeowner to contract for the pruning, trimming, and root management of the tree located on the municipal property at 351 West Street by a qualified professional, subject to completion of an assessment by an arborist.
Seconder for that motion, Councilor Fisk. CAO, would you like to brief us on this?
Sure. So we've received a request for multiple times, but we've received a request to remove a tree on municipal property. Staff recommend, based on our view, that it's a healthy tree and does not require removal. The tree could be safely maintained, does not pose a danger or a safety hazard.
Any councilors? Councilor Fancy?
Yes. I will be supporting this because I'd like to see him be able to turn this back, and but also too, and I think that maybe like I said, I'll go forward with this motion to where we're aiming for, but there is a I always think of where does interest lie, because it is the Regent Street and it overhangs it into his property. If you look at it and you go up there, he can't park his car back because he's had limbs and things fall down, so he has to keep his car as a hit, so he can't park in his driveway fully. He's got to come out. He wants to put a building back there, but he can't put a building back there because his limbs breaking off, and he's had problems with the roof, with you know, of course, when it cuts off the sunlight, you get moisture build up on the roof, and so it just caused him some grief. And just wondering, as we go forward, we're going to run into a lot of these trees with a lot of different things, and how we handle these things. Where do we draw the line of even cost sharing on different things, and where are we not? And I think we need to get some kind of a policy forward.
Thank you, Councillor Nancy. Councillor Phil?
I'm curious why we don't have a policy. It is obviously familiar with this property. That tree has caused a lot of damage and will continue to cause a lot of damage. And if it were one of us, if that tree was overhanging, I would think that we would request the same thing. If it was the Nova Scotia Power, we would call them and they would look after it. I don't understand, especially with the next one that's coming up, and you see the severity of that one, why we wouldn't just be working on a policy to deal with this.
CAO?
So the Municipal Government Act has fairly clear, well, I guess why there isn't a policy based on past practice has been illegal for one, based on the Municipal Governance Act giving our authority, and I guess the way past requests have been dealt with. So it just so happens we have two in a case that we've received requests on more than one, so we brought this forward because the answer doesn't change.
Did you not say that this has come for us before many times?
I understand that it's been requested over the past 20 years or longer to cut down trees. I don't have the specifics.
We're just going to keep saying no rather than look at a policy. Have we ever said yes to a request?
So as would be typical with municipality, if there's a safety hazard or an obstruction to our right of way, we would deal with managing and trimming, pruning a tree. Typically, it's a homeowner's responsibility to manage a tree on their property. We have thousands and thousands and thousands of trees and trees that would have a similar, planted in the right of way and hanging over a home. And there's, just as many that would be on one neighbor's property hanging over another. So the Municipal Government Act lays out the authority for that. If we were going to introduce a policy, it'd be very consistent with our recommendation here today, is that, we're happy to permit something as long as it's done and deemed appropriate by a qualified professional, we would consider it. Not just going to hack down, these 250-year-old trees they are.
Thank you, CAO. Any other councillor that would like to speak on 15-1? Deputy Mayor McLeod.
I'm just trying to understand the municipal powers respecting trees thing. And it keeps referring to the owner fails to do blah, blah, blah. And we're the owner of that tree, so don't we put ourselves in reverse in this situation? How does this work?
CAO?
We're expecting owners of other property to adhere to this under the Municipal Government Act, but we own the tree, so aren't we subject to these conditions?
And my job?
liability?
And this is the Government Act explanation for CAO?
Specifically strips away our liability. That's what the MGA does. I believe that they're referring to owner, they're referring to owner of the property.
I know that.
Property. The property that has lost the control. Not the property as in the tree.
So, yeah, so just for clarity, that gives us the power to order something to do a tree. Perhaps, I think we had an issue last year where there's a huge branch going over a corner. We have the authority to say, no, that branch is obstructing the right of way or something like that.
However, we are exempt as a municipality to this. Is that right?
We're exempt from liability of the tree.
The Municipal Government Act clarification identifies that municipal units are not liable for diseased or damaged trees. That's what's under section 10 of 60, I'd have to look it up, but it's 63.
Just bear with me for a little bit, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to get this understood. So a property owner that doesn't own, and the tree is on a region land, and this is a private property owner. So if a situation happened that the limbs fell on their home or their vehicles, then their insurance would have to cover that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But in my opinion, that does not seem, and I can't rewrite the Municipal Government Act, but it just does not seem right for a homeowner to be subjected to that. We know there's a situation, and it's a hypothetical situation. Nothing has happened to this point. But I went up yesterday in a heavy wind, and I took a video of the tree as it was blowing in the wind. And if I was a homeowner next door, I would have been really concerned about that. And I looked at and I looked at the tree itself, and the tree has no purpose unless you're a tree hugger. Really, it has no purpose. What? No, because we've taken down our own trees, right? So I really feel that we should take a more serious look at this, and either I don't want to put the expense on the homeowner, because we have a right to protect our residents. We do it in other aspects. Why aren't we doing it with the trees?
That's why we're giving them permission to prune it.
They can prune it at their own expense.
It's not their tree.
It's not their tree.
It's theirs.
We could get off course on this very quickly. And as a point of information, the Municipal Government Act, to my understanding, states what it does regarding limbs, because with all the trees throughout Nova Scotia and towns and cities, there would be an endless job trimming limbs if every resident said, I want those limbs trimmed.
Oh, I know that.
It would be impossible. So the liability for a municipal unit not to have trimmed a limb is limited. And that is the extent of the Municipal Government Act in that respect of portion 10 of 63. That's the bigger picture. Councillor Johnson?
Have we ever looked into whether the Department of Transportation and Infrastructure have a policy where they have a similar, you know, because these municipal powers, to me, spell it very clearly, and I know dealing with Department of Transportation and Infrastructure, you know, trees on their right-of-way, they'll deal with them if they are decayed or if some limbs have been damaged through natural causes, lightning, wind, you know, ice storms and things like that. And then it becomes, it falls back into the safety side of it. But if we're going out and cutting down healthy trees because they may break or may fall, I don't know. I was just wondering if there was any chance. Without looking across departments and stuff, I think the two are very similar situations.
Our practice over the years, now I've been here a few years, it's exactly what you just said. We do not go cut down healthy trees based on someone's wish or desire.
Mm-hmm.
Someone just made an example of town hall, because that was an inference here. That is not the same thing at all. Those town hall were basically utility trees, all right, that we couldn't light Christmas tree lightings on them. That is not an example we're trying to make, and it shouldn't be an example to use in this case. But what we do, Works Department, is exactly what you said. If we go and a tree that's on the right of way, and there's a branch that's broken, or it's obviously dead, and you don't need a arborist to determine that, we will trim it or have it trimmed, right? What this is talking about is something quite different. We wouldn't go in and trim it because it may be overhanging on a private property. That's not our responsibility or what we're mandated to do as Works Department. And we certainly wouldn't cut down an entire healthy tree because of that reason. If council wishes to do that, we can be so directed. But that's where we stand today.
Any other councilor on 15-1? Councilor Manson?
Do we have anything where we do any cost share with, we see something that would be deemed as unacceptable or, because that's the big thing I'm looking at is the cost sharing measures, because a lot of times if somebody just says, I want this, you know, it'd be kind of nice if you guys could go in there and turn this all for me. Yeah, that's kind of nice, but there has to be some onus on the personnel, but is there any measures we take that would be cost sharing?
Just on that point, Jennifer, do we have a history of cost sharing?
Yeah.
Up to this point, no.
Okay.
Councilor Frehley?
I'm going to pass.
Okay. Any other councilors on 15-1 today? Councilor Kelly?
So, it's our tree, but if it's causing a dangerous situation, has it been determined that there's anything that dangerous about this? Are there limbs falling off of it and things like that? Is that what, that to understand, yes?
That is the intent of the Municipal Government Act legislation, to exempt us from liability of unforeseen and unknown issues that may occur.
But this is a known issue now.
Then that issue, I would think, council would deal with on an individual basis based upon the tree and the situation.
So
we can't devise a policy that one size fits all for.
No, that's right. But when a resident advises us that one of our trees is causing damage or causing safety issues, it's not our responsibility to do something about it? Or is it our responsibility to, so I'm just, again, just trying to clarify in my own mind, that our responsibility is to inform the homeowner to do something about it.
I would ask Jennifer to respond.
We are giving them permission to trim the tree for the limbs that are causing the issue. That's what we do. We give them permission to prune appropriately the tree that's causing the issue.
Right. So it doesn't make sense because, I'm just going to put this in perspective then. It doesn't make sense to me because the difference is that it's a municipality and a resident. If it was two residents, it would be totally different. They own the tree and they're responsible for fixing the tree. And if anything is unsafe about the tree, they would be required to take care of it. But because we're a municipality and because of the MGA, we tell the residents have to take care of our trees.
And because of the massive number of trees that we would own and that would be on our property. Because if we started doing it for one, there are many, many, many thousands of others ones.
Okay, right.
We have to limit ourselves because we have more than one.
Right. Okay, and I understand that now.
Councilor Johnson?
Isn't it the whole crux of this, the definition of safety versus nuisance? Okay. Once we can define that, and, you know, our professional arborists can do that very quickly, I would think, the difference between what we define as safety and what we define as a nuisance. You know,
the odd. And we're still giving them permission for right. And we're probably giving them, we're much more willing to give them permission to prune appropriately because of a safety or danger issue rather than a nuisance where we probably would say, no, there's not probably any, we wouldn't give them permission.
No, I think we're saying the same. Deputy Mayor?
Has this tree been pruned before?
It shows evidence of being pruned. Limbs are missing and they were cut close to the tree.
Well, the Region of Queens didn't. I mean, you can tell just looking at that tree.
They
not
didn't.
That I've ever known.
No.
So did the County of Queens in decades gone by?
In my past, and I don't know where I get this information from, and we have issues with our neighbor's trees, you know, and the limbs falling on our property and that sort of thing. And I don't know where I heard it, and I
be corrected, but I thought once it was overlaying somebody else's property, it was actually their own portion, because it's a tree that has their trunk on one land, but once it's over causing an issue with the neighboring property, they have every right, and sometimes they don't even have to ask for permission to prune it.
That's right, that's correct.
Is that correct?
That's correct. So Johnson, you had your hand up?
Well, I know the question was asked, had the tree been pruned before, or that particular tree, when I looked at it, definitely has been pruned, it's been pruned by arborists, but just anybody and everybody cannot prune trees. The municipality just can't go prune a tree depending on its limits of approach to electrical equipment, live electrical equipment as well, so there's a whole lot of other things come in there other than just good arborist skills and arborist policies in tree stuff. So. Yeah, probably the tree has been pruned many times, and because it leans that way, it's the result of, and it will come back. Look at the trees at the number 8 highway. If they're pruned properly, they will come back. But just me going in there, well, I shouldn't say me, but just a general Joe going in there and pruning close to power lines, that doesn't cut it, you know, literally.
Councilor Kelly?
So it says here, the generally tree trimming responsibilities are shared between the homeowner, the municipality, and Nova Scotia Power. But that doesn't apply in this case.
It's not an electrical issue.
Right. Municipality will manage trees that impact traffic in the municipal right of way or create damage to municipal properties. Okay.
So are we confident that we've talked this one through? I'm going to wait for a minute for Councillor Johnson to return to his seat, and then I'll ask for a vote on this.
So just one more question then.
Yes, Councillor Kelly.
If the tree were to blow down, is it right next to the blacksmith shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it was to blow down over the blacksmith shop, then that's owned by the Queens County Museum?
That's owned by the Region of Queens.
Oh, so if it... So that would be our responsibility anyway, because it's ours and we would be responsible for rebuilding it. Would our insurance cover that?
Well, yes.
Okay.
That heritage tree would be no more.
What determines a heritage tree?
So are we ready for the question on 15.1?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed? We have one opposed. It was passed. Thank you very much. 15.2, tree removal request, Riverview Road. Councilor Muse, would you like to take the lead on 15.2?
It's recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality permit the homeowner to contract for the pruning, trimming, and root management of the tree located in municipal right-of-way in front of 7 Riverview Road by a qualified professional, subject to completion of an assessment by an arborist.
Seconded for that motion, Councilor Fisk. CAO, would you like to brief us on that?
Okay, so similar situation, previously requested to come down, very large tree. Tree appears healthy. So staff brought forward to council for your consideration the same remedy as the other tree.
And councilors like to speak on 15.2. Councilor Fisk.
I just want to make a comment on this situation. I viewed the property myself, and Councilor Fancy was with me this morning. We went around different areas right in that local area. There's several trees. Say not maybe quite the same size, but within that scope. If we go ahead and cut this tree down, well, we can cut them all down. Everybody will be calling us out. And there's a pile of trees in there, and a pile of work, and a lot of money. So that's where I stand with it.
Any other councilor? Councilor Kelly.
Well, again. I don't know who planted that tree there. I know it was planted a million years ago because it's so old and so huge. I mean, it overpowers the community, but I'm struggling now because I do understand that we can't go around cutting, you know, fixing all of these trees. trees because there are so many, and we would just be cutting trees and pruning trees forever here. And so there has to be, it has to be the homeowners that are having problems with the tree to do something about it, but they struggle with the fact that it's not their tree, and they didn't put it there, but yet it's causing loads of problems to their house. So now I'm struggling with the fact that, you know, what have staff determined about this tree? I mean, it is so overwhelming that it looks like it's gonna, you know, I can imagine what's going on underneath the ground, or it's gonna eat their house. It's so unbelievably huge over these houses. You know, there's a lot of large, I mean, it's so old. At some point, you can't just let a tree die. It's so old that, you know, you need to do something for it before it dies, because when it dies, it's going to cause a lot of damage to that whole neighborhood. That, I mean, and to be honest with you, I think the region does have a responsibility with this one, because the branches are overhanging onto the street. I mean, a plow couldn't possibly get down. They would seriously have to go along the other side of the street. Mind you, it is narrow. But there are trees that are a regular, normal truck or large kind of truck couldn't pass safely underneath that tree along that road. If there was another car passing on the other side, a truck could not pass around that road because those trees are hanging over. There are issues with the power line there, so I think NSP needs to get involved, because the power lines go right through the tree. But I would think that at least on the region's responsibility to have a proper report from a qualified arborist, if that's required, as to what that tree will be capable of doing in the few years to come, you know, the next 5 years, say, for instance, because it's already, you know, it's almost going to lift the house up. It's already lifting everything up. I think they had to replace the doorstep because it had lifted their old doorstep up, and when they did that, they noticed how the limbs were all, or the roots were all pushing up against the foundation. And, you know, they're concerned about their home, you know, their home is that they feel is at risk. And if we could put their mind at rest that this tree, no matter if it grows for the next 10 years, will not affect that property, the actual house itself, then I think that would be okay. And I think that's a reasonable request that we do on behalf of the region.
Councilor Fisk? I just go back there again. I understand where Heather's coming from. I also want you to understand that there's lots of trees in that area. The same situation. They're going to be soon in the foundations or underneath the sidewalks, whatever. But if we are prepared to cut this tree down, fine. But I'll guarantee you that you can cut more than just that tree down.
I'm not saying cut the tree down.
I just, that's my point of view. That's as simple as that.
Did you have a comment that you wanted to make, Councilor Kelly?
Well, yeah, I'm not necessarily, like, say cut the tree down. If the tree is a healthy tree, and if it's determined that, you know, it definitely needs to be trimmed back on the street side of things, and it is overhanging on two houses there, and there are some branches that are quite large and huge that are overhanging onto the property, that, you know, that it's determined. I'd rather see a report that tells us what's the, you know, I tried to look up online about this maple tree, and but there's hardly any information about that kind of thing that I could find anyway. But how much damage this can do to their property. I mean, that's a huge undertaking for somebody, for a homeowner to take. I mean, this tree is just so massive, and I know we can't make these decisions based on sizes of trees, but I believe that there's a little bit more that we can do to put the homeowners at rest, at least understand what these trees are capable of doing.
Deputy Mayor McBride?
Are we certain that it's in our right-of-way? Because I often took a picture, and it's
very certain.
Very certain. Okay, so obviously the homeowners there, property has come, like the walkway is in our right of way that belongs to that property.
It's on the edge of it.
Yeah, on the edge of it. So I don't understand how trees grow. I don't understand root systems. I don't know what an arborist does, and I'm sure there are the professionals that do. But if the tree was trimmed back and you didn't
pardon me?
Roots will still grow.
Roots will still grow. In the same fast way they grow. Okay, that's my question.
Councilor Johnson?
The roots, the answer to the question on the root system is 30% of the canopy. That's how it grows. Any of those trees that are in there now, in the old established part of town, every house has roots pushing on the foundation and doing things like that. It's a chicken and egg thing. Unless you just build a new foundation and cut the roots are there. I don't see anything different between this request than 15.2. Because it's the exact same thing. The tree is there. We're allowing the homeowner to do necessary proper trimming to be able to alleviate the moss on the roof. And as you control the canopy, you also control the roof system.
Deputy Mayor McLeod, if you would you please take the chair? I'd like to sit in your chair for a bit, and you can proceed through 15.2, if you would. Yes, I would, Madam Chair. I very seldom change seats on issues of this nature, but this one concerns me sufficiently. I would like to speak on it, and I do respect the recommendation of staff. I know that they're dealing with a very difficult situation of trees within our area because we have very many, and some are very large. In this issue, the tree is healthy, the tree is huge, and it has a significant amount of root system under the ground. It is a tree on our right-of-way in the area in front of 7 Riverview Road. There's approximately 15 feet of lawn between the house and the road. The tree is utilizing that space that doesn't have pavement to grow as much as it can, and likely under the pavement and elsewhere. It is a difficult situation for the landowner and the tenants, as indicated to us in the letter, indicating that it's forced the walkway pads up in the air, and I've looked, and it has. They have indicated it's pushing on the foundation. It's not a cosmetic concern of limbs hanging or possibly limbs falling in an ice storm. It's a issue of structural impact from this tree. And this tree would be anticipated to cause additional damage or concern to that structural integrity of that property and that house as long as it continues to grow. Limbing, trimming is not going to stop the roots, as other councillors have stated this morning. It's going to continue to grow, and the issue is going to compound as the tree gets bigger and the roots grow farther and longer. We do have protection under the Municipal Government Act for diseased and damaged limbs and trees, but the Municipal Government Act does not extend to liability issues where structural damage is indicated. And that concerns me going forward, because it may be 5 years, 10 years, whatever in the future, that this surfaces to become a bigger issue. I think it's incumbent upon councillors today to consider dealing with this issue today, and I bring this forward on the basis that, as mentioned by another councilman this morning, there are many trees in that neighborhood. I looked at them all. I could not find one except this one that's on our right-of-way. The rest are on private property. They're close to the right-of-way, but on private property, and therefore become the responsibility of the landowner. In this respect, it is my intention to vote against this recommended motion. If it so fails and it is not approved, it would be my intention to put a motion forward to have the Region of Queens instruct staff to cut this tree down, and this concern of the residents. And that's what I wanted to say this morning, so councillors have an understanding of where my vote would go.
Thank you. Any other comments? Other comments?
If this tree died, then we would be able to take it down? It would be the MGA allows us to take down a dead tree.
Oh, clearly it was disease, yeah.
If it just died of natural causes without a disease, it was just.
Yes.
Dying.
And then become dangerous.
Right, we could cut it down. So we could wait for it to die. We just didn't do anything before that. Just looking at options here.
Was there someone before me or David that wanted to speak? Council Perwitt?
So I wanted to understand the difference between this one and the other one. This seems like this is actually a safety issue for, more of a safety issue for the homeowner. Plus, that may be the difference, but it's causing him to, his property is being damaged. The last one, the property is being damaged. I don't know the difference, and this is where we're going to get into details, which is all the more reason why we need a policy to deal with these situations. But does anyone have any explanation about the difference between the two?
Both scenarios are still covered under the EIA. Because it does specifically say dangerous. Some level forbidden to remove a diseased or dangerous tree or limb from the property with a public or private owner.
But
and
this
it's true,
one
there are many other trees in the area, large trees with roots that are infringing upon other property. Even if those aren't specifically our trees, you might run the risk of setting a precedent that those other homeowners will then now have to in turn do the same thing with whatever it is we so decide to do with our tree.
So in this situation, we go back to the previous motion that we just had, and we say, we are not doing anything other than allowing you to trim the tree, and if a branch falls on you and hurts you or kills you, we've done everything we can. But in this one, because this one is somehow different, we're going to absorb the cost of it.
I don't see the difference.
We're not.
That's my point.
Our recommendation is standard CAO.
Okay, you were making a point. That was a question to council, correct?
Well, I guess I'm confused because I understand what Mayor Degg is saying totally. But that also could apply to the previous one that we had, where it's causing damage to his property and causing him grief, so why wouldn't we step up and help him? I guarantee if it was pointed in the other direction, to the museum, we would be taking that tree down. So I'm just trying to understand the difference between the two, so I'll know how to vote on this one, because I do agree with Mayor Dagley that this one is going to cause some grief for the owner.
So staff will put forward the same.
Okay.
We're not identifying a difference. We have the same recommendation.
Okay.
Next, Mayor Dagley and then.
For clarification, the Municipal Government Act does allow the Region of Queens to cut a tree on its own property. It's not prohibited from doing so, and it doesn't have to be diseased or damaged. Mm-hmm. What the Municipal Government Act does not clearly cover is structural damage. It covers trees and limbs, and I would perceive the tree next to the blacksmith shop is an issue of potentially falling limbs. It's not a structural issue. I would refer you to the Supreme Court decision in Ontario, Ottawa versus Gwinnett, where a similar issue to 15-2 was brought before the courts for structural damage by a tree on the City of Ottawa's property. They were reluctant to deal with it. The landowner took the city to court. The court ordered the city to remove it because of structural damage to the basement of a home. So those issues can come back in our direction, will they? I do not know. Concern that I have going forward is as this tree, which is very healthy and vigorous, grows, the roots will of course grow and its reach will extend. So hopefully that's a little more clarification as to the difference between 15-1 and 15-2.
I agree with everything that has been said so far. The biggest problem being is that, again, 15-1 to 15-2 to what we have in our act is identical. Yeah, we're looking at it as the same. And to do anything outside of that jurisdiction is going to set a precedent, which I'm not comfortable going to. The only way I would be willing to go forward is to us be looking to review our policy and be able to determine where we're going with. Because if we don't, everything we do sets a precedent that's going to, it's going to be hard to determine, saying, okay, well, this one here might have a little bit of root system going under, this one may not, this one may be doing this. If we don't have a policy and follow the policy, then we're going to be in a bad spot. I think this homeowner's in a terrible spot. I feel totally bad for it. And should it something be done? Absolutely. But if we don't have some kind of policy, I can't see that. I can't be voting for it before that. Yes.
My concern though with the policy is it's not going to be able to clarify the situations enough that the decisions will be different. If we even begin to try and define a policy, we're going to be exactly the same discussion each time. Because we can't blanket cover everything. Everything is still going to be on a case by case basis, and all it's going to do really, I feel, is probably muddy the water. Because we're trying to do something outside of the MGA, whereas now at least we do have that piece. A policy is not going to put us in any better situation because we're still going to end up looking at each case individually and making decisions in isolation.
Can I follow up on
that?
I somewhat disagree, because if you're going to cut this tree or do anything with this tree other than a policy, we're putting ourselves in a dangerous spot. Now, if we said we wanted to go, okay, anything that would bother a house structurally, and we could see how it was maybe affecting the building or something, you know, you'd say, okay, we're going to work on that because that's where we're going to draw our line or something. At least that's a line to draw on rather than say, well, it's going to fall down and hit somebody. If you could determine that, to take pictures, say all of a sudden, my walkway is being lifted up and I'm getting close to the house, okay, now it's... But if that way, you at least give us something to work on, rather than say, okay, well, this one here is pretty bad, and this one here is not, and this one, you're going to be in terrible trouble.
So you limit your 300 trees to 150 trees. It's still a large number of trees that are going to fall into that category. You've got to clearly define, when you give you permission to prune the tree. We'll give you permission to prune the tree.
Any other comments?
Yeah, I would agree with Jennifer on the basis that every decision on a tree will become an individual decision. And as far as precedent, Supreme Court of Ontario has already ruled precedent on trees and foundations. So we have issues that we need to be considered of. And I think as elected officials, we need to look at what is the right thing to do when we make decisions. So I'll leave it at that and let councillors make their own decisions and vote.
Councillor Kelly?
Yeah, I'm struggling with this, but what I'm coming to is the fact that, yeah, I agree, and I agree that, you know, the policy, we don't need a policy because it's clearly outlined in the MGA what our responsibility is, but maybe with the one in Milton is that it only requires pruning, and if a tree is such that it can be fixed by just pruning it back and we say to the homeowners that it's affecting, then go ahead and yes, and prune these back. But this one in the prefabs, it's endangering the property. It's absolutely endangering the property from my point of view, and I believe if there was a report done as well, they'd probably say the same thing. And I think that's the thing that's deciding, is that to let this tree continue to grow is only going to get worse. I don't think pruning it is going to solve anything, whereas the one in Milton, pruning it solves a lot of the issues with that tree. But this one, pruning is not going to do anything, unless someone can tell me that pruning that tree will either stop it from growing any further or stop that it's, you know, practically eating this person's house and their front yard, then I think that I agree that we should do something with this tree.
I'm not an arborist, but I would think that an arborist would be able to tell you if you're able to go in and cut the roots. I mean, I don't see any reason why you couldn't cut the roots and stop them from growing without having trimming.
I believe if you cut roots of a tree, you're in essence killing it, so that would be a good idea, because if we kill it, then we have to take it down. And then
again,
we're good.
Not us.
We're good to go.
Not us.
Right.
Not us training us. Not us.
Right.
We said an arborist.
True. trim the weeds and kill the tree, and then we
allow them to come in and do an assessment, they can have an arborist come in and do an assessment, and then they have our permission to trim according to those requirements.
Just, I can make a little comment here, I'm not, I'm just gonna make a comment from my own perception of the roots are the stability of the tree, so if you start cutting roots from the tree, then the tree becomes weak. That may cause issues in the future as well, so that's my comment. Any other comments regarding this motion? Can I call for the question?
Question.
All those in favor? 1, 2, 3. Against? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The motion is denied.
I move a recommendation that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality direct staff to initiate the removal of the large tree in the municipal right-of-way in front of the residence located at 7 Riverview Road, Liverpool, and that the removal of said tree be conducted with the cooperation of Nova Scotia Power.
Does everyone have copies of that motion? They do now?
They're on the table.
Quite an artist. Okay, do I have a seconder to that motion? A seconder by Kevin News. Any discussion on the motion? Can I ask for the question? All those in favor?